Blog Talk Radio.
Definitely, when you think about the fact that we already have had our first African-American president, I think this is really an era of progression in American politics, and we could set the stage for really set an example for the rest of the world. If we have our first African-American president and then immediately follow that with our first woman president, that would just be amazing.
I think it would be really interesting to have yet another legacy of, like, continuing the Clintons. Like, we've had multiple Bushes, like, having another Clinton, like, having just that continued legacy seems kind of weird. But, I mean, Hillary is an amazing woman. She's done so much. And the idea of having a woman as president is really exciting.
I'm your captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where we have 968 days, 4 frickin' hours, 56 goddamn minutes, and 12 goddamn seconds left of this goddamn Obama nightmare. And then we gotta go to work. That's when we gotta put the work in. Because now we gotta unscrew all this. And there's a lot to unscrew. So we got no time. No time to blink. No time to take a nap. No time to watch the Kim Kardashian show, find out how her and her stupid little wedding went. Oh, God. It's a freaking wedding, man. I mean, it's like, you know, people get married all over the goddamn world every day. Not a to-do. And that stupid royal wedding, hey, look. Okay, fine. They're royal, whatever. I'm sure they're nice people. I got nothing bad to say about them. I've never met them. But they're royal just because they are. Because you win an election in this country, well, then you are, well, you're special. And you win the right election, well, you get a magic pen. And you get a magic phone. You can do whatever you want. I mean, it's like, you know, and then, oh, what's her name now that, oh, God, I'm terrible with names. She's a very nice-looking woman. I'm sure she seems like a very nice person. But Wynn caught her dress and lifted up, and showed her ass, and the Germans took a picture of it, put it all over their damn newspapers, and now everybody's in an uproar. Well, you know, maybe the princess should have been wearing panties. I don't know, but it was a nice ass, so, you know, if I had one like that, I'd show it too, honey, so don't worry about it. It's only an ass. People are making such a big deal. Look, okay, fine, whatever. But, first of all, nobody got injured. Embarrassed? Well, maybe. I don't know. Whatever. But in any event, before we, God, we can't even get started this morning or this evening. Jesus, God. Well, after we clean up the goddamn mess, which is going to take forever, the fight of freedom just doesn't, it doesn't go away. We've been fighting for freedom since we got it. You look back in history. The same story, the same song and dance, over and over and over and over and over and over again. People are going to try to buck the system, man. It's human nature. And since there's a document here that says the government can't, that means the government must try. Why? Well, you know, we don't know that other than greed. That's all it's about. Who can get the most power to do what? What are you going to do with all this power? Throw everybody in jail? That's power? So you have control? Control over what? I don't get the prize. I don't get that end game. I never did. Sick and tired of the government and the goddamn everybody's business. They're in the, this business, that business, the education business, the health business, the internet business now. They want to turn the keys over to Putin because, see, they don't want to take away your freedom. So they're gonna pawn it off to, let's say, somebody like, well, I don't know, Putin, who loves to control what goes on the internet. See, if you don't, you know, you must print what I tell you to print and don't embarrass me. Well, see, Obama can't really quite get away with it. He couldn't quite get away with selling weapons outright to his Al-Qaeda friends. So he went through back channels, Turkey, Qatar, all these countries. Everybody was involved. God only knows, man. Find a way to get the weapons into these hands, and then finally somebody finds out. Maybe Ambassador Stevens was getting ready to blow the whistle. Who knows, man? We don't know what the hell was going on. I hate to speculate, but, you know, we have the most transparent administration in American political history, so you're left to speculate based on the evidence and based on, well, past history of the government, of people, not just a government, it's freaking people. It's the nature. It's their mindset. It's the culture. The teachers are there to program the students to think the way that, well, they've been programmed to think. And you must not disagree with it. You're an outcast. You're a miscreant. You will not be tolerated. So a little kindergarten teacher doesn't know what to do. Poor little kid, he doesn't want to be programmed. She doesn't understand the fact that the kid's got a goddamn mind of his own. So she calls the police. I can't handle it. He's violent. He needs a Tea Party member. All right, ma'am. We'll take care of this little varmint. This little rascal.
Jesus, God damn it. There's still more stories in here. I don't know if I'll ever shut up long enough to get to it, but what I wanted to get into today, the scuttlebutt of the day, that's what happens with these liberals, man. You start talking about them and blasting off into deep space frickin' nine. But this kid that shot up this college town and stabbed him and ran him over with his car, and he made that video. Well, you know, I watched it Saturday, I don't know, Saturday about afternoon sometime. And I didn't even hear about the shooting yet. On Saturday, I said, screw it. I didn't want to get involved in anything. I didn't want to listen to radio, TV, nothing. But I couldn't resist it. And so in the afternoon, I turn on the goddamn computer. And there's this video. Now, what the hell? So I watch it and I go, this guy's just a, something's wrong. And so I stopped it and I read the thing and it said, well, there was a shooting in this town, Isla Vista, in California. And I said, okay, well, let me go. I went back and watched the video. Then he went on and on and on. This was like about an eight-minute one, something 9 minute. Was the one in his car. I'm sure everybody's seen it. But I'm watching this, and then he starts going, and I go, you know what? This guy sounds like he's repeating what his psychiatrist has been saying. It just sounded like that. It was too, I don't want to say that I use the word clinical, but in that same kind of vein, that same kind of level. But it was too, I don't know. It just didn't seem genuine to me. And I just went, God, I could just, this guy, obviously he shot up, he's dead already. But I could just imagine, this guy, I just figured right off the bat, this guy has seen shrinks galore. None of them know what the hell to do, so they just keep prescribing him more different kinds of drugs. Maybe that'll work. Maybe what will work? They're people. They can't be programmed. And the program you're trying to program him is just idiotic. I don't get it. Just people think that they can help. Sometimes you can't. Sometimes people are just gone. Maybe you can help them. Seems like the parents wanted to help. They called the cops at one time. Maybe they should have gone over there with the cops. I mean, who knows? You can't really, you're a parent. You can't really second guess, but, maybe you can, maybe you can't. I don't know. It's a sad frickin' story from every angle. His family, I'm sure, they lost too, man. Sorry, I hate to say it, but they did. All the victims that he ran over and stabbed and shot, not only the whole families, they all got families and friends, the whole school. So there's a lot of victims in here. Not just the six that were killed. These kinds of things that, but it's not a time that, okay, fine. If there's a smoke, I hate to get into this argument, but everybody's got to play this blame game. Because any time that something is very horrific, first of all, people don't like, they just don't like, that's too much. It's an overload. So they want somebody responsible for it. Somebody must be punished. Somebody must hang. Well, I get it. I understand. But sometimes that blame game and that hang game, it gets too easy. So that's one of the reasons why we have a judicial system, but, it's part of the Constitution, so it doesn't count anymore. But everybody wants to point the finger and assume and accuse and blame. Somebody's got to pay for what? A lot of people's got to pay. A lot of people are going to pay. Is there something that somebody could have done? Who knows? Who knows? But everybody who didn't have anything to do with this family is now all of a sudden experts and psychiatrists all over these goddamn talking head shows. They all got to come in and evaluate. Well, he's a Rothenberger. Shut up. Goddamn drugs you put them on. The crap you put in their head. No wonder they're screwed up. But there's a lot of blame to go around for everywhere. And everybody, society. But, you know, I was listening this morning. Since I don't do a morning show anymore, I now do the evening show. I'm still adjusting this time. My whole life has been around a completely different schedule than this, so it's kind of weird. But I finally got a chance to go back to listening to the radio in the morning. I love listening to the radio. I've always loved listening to the radio since I was a kid. Radio is much more personal. Television, you know, television talks at you. Radio talks to you and with you. It's much more personal. I love the radio. So I get a chance and I get on there and that dingbat Geraldo Rivera. God damn it. This guy, I mean, first of all, I've never been able to take the man seriously. Even when I was a kid, I just could not take the guy seriously. He just never came across to me as... I don't know. I just never was able to take anything that he tells me. I mean, I know he digs up a lot of stuff, man. And I watched the hell out of him during that OJ trial, too, man. That was the show, man. If you wanted anything about OJ, man, just turn on the Geraldo Hour. He was on the air like 24/7, man, for like, what, 6 months for that entire trial? But, I mean, sometimes this guy, I mean, I never was able to really take him seriously. So I'm listening to the radio. Good God, can I just get to the frickin' point? So I'm listening to the radio. And it's at the very beginning. I turned it on. Obviously, it was on. I turned it on exactly 10:05 or whatever it was. His show comes on at 10 in the morning. But it was after 10. They got all those stupid commercials and the goddamn news and the traffic report. I mean, why did they even, you know, look, I did radio back home, KVAN, KVAN, Vancouver, Washington. Willie Nelson actually was a broadcaster there long before I showed up, but had the key to the station. It was great. I loved it. I was on there all the time. I was like Geraldo. I practically lived there. Loved it. Now I forgot what the hell I was talking about. Doesn't matter. Anyway, Geraldo Rivera. So I'm listening to this. I finally get a chance to listen to the radio. This is what happens with these liberals, man. I'm not even going to start talking about Nancy Pelosi. Jesus Christ. My brain will just turn to freaking mush. We'll never get anything done. But turn it on, listening to Geraldo here. And he starts talking about this wacko kid that never got laid, went out and shot up the place and stabbed people and ran them over. And I mean, the first things out of his mouth, and I just imagined right when he started talking and I knew what the subject was, I just was like, oh, my God, here it comes. And come on. I just don't need this today. I wanted a nice, peaceful show for tonight, and it ain't going to happen. Start talking about how the Second Amendment stinks. It's outdated. What does that mean, outdated? I don't know what that means. That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sitting there listening to this guy. The Second Amendment stinks. I'm going to get to a point here. I do take the scenic route, but eventually I do get around to it. But, I mean, this is how much this man just simply does not understand, and it's mind-boggling to me because this man is a lawyer. Geraldo, I'm sure when you went to lawyer school, I'm sure at one point somebody had to have brought up the United States Constitution. Pretty sure that they did. I don't know. Maybe he was taught wrong. This kind of stuff has been infiltrated our schools, infiltrated our society for many years. It's finally coming to a head. They started winning some elections, getting more people to get on their side because they're getting all free stuff, bringing all these illegal aliens over. They're voting for all the dead people that have been dead for 30 years. They're voting for people like Donald Duck 14 freaking times, all these different precincts. How did Philadelphia get exactly 100% of the vote? One person in Philadelphia. Not one person. 100%. The entire city. When I seen that ditzy, he's just a slob. Axelrod. That's his friggin' name. Oh, no, I guarantee it. Him and that other guy. But it was the other guy, too. They're both the same. They're both duffer dumb butts. They both irritate the hell out of me. You, the other, the press secretary, whatever his name is. Can't remember. Who gives a damn? They're out there, oh, yeah, absolutely, I guarantee it. We're going to win Ohio, we're going to win Pennsylvania, and we're going to win Virginia. Well, they already had the votes counted. It was already done. They just had to wait for the day. They pushed the button, the computer writes it in, boom, boom, boom. It was already done. They had all their people set in place. They go on these little buses. They drop them off precinct to precinct to precinct. I mean, some of these people are voting 10, 15 friggin' times. I'm sorry, but the vote should be, I don't know. I look at the vote as something precious, and I don't like when people, take advantage of it. I know it's easy to do because you want to win, because you believe in your candidate, blah, blah, blah. But if somebody does that to you, that's taking away your vote. Well, you can't do that. Well, why? Well, because, see, we're Democrats. You can't. No, Democrats have to win. And if we lose, it's the Republicans' fault. And then he starts going on and on and on and on and on. And then he said something. I mean, some of these, I had to write them down when I'm listening. I'm just thinking to myself, my God, this guy has lost it, man. I don't care about the slippery slope. He was pissed. He was angry. He was pissed off at his opening monologue. And I'm thinking, you don't care about the slippery slope. Well, look what's going on around you, Geraldo. This is the product of the frickin' slippery slope. That's why people are pissed off. That's why you're getting people over there in Washington. Operation American Spring. Okay, fine. We don't have millions of people there yet. But there needs to be more in every town. There needs to be more outrage. You need to have it inside. We're not ready to fight this war yet. And this is a war. And I don't mean fight. We got to go out killing people. So I don't want anybody all wigging out. But it is a war. We've got to fight. But some people aren't ready to fight yet. I guess they don't feel the pain yet. I guess they're blind. They can't see. They can't see their neighbor all messed up. Can't see their own lives all messed up. Can't remember where you put your freedoms. Honey, you see the freedoms? Huh? Who's got the freedoms? The dog eat them? Where's my freedoms? Well, they were taken away from you. You didn't notice your neighbor got his taken away. While you were taking a nap after watching the Kim Kardashian show, eating 14 bags of goddamn Cheetos, put yourself to sleep, and, well, little freedom monster came in and took them. And that's what happened. We all did. Hey, we had Ronald Reagan. We already got our freedoms. We got a constitution. We got Mr. Conservative in there. He didn't complain about Jimmy Carter screwing up the goddamn country. He rolled up his sleeves and went to work. Turned the country around. We didn't, we don't need to worry. Country's doing great. Economy's doing good. Militarily, we're very strong with the superpower of the world. No one can mess with us. We all got jobs. We all got money. We all got a boat. Go out fishing. Beautiful life. Everything's everything. Everybody gets along. Our neighborhoods. They're not all run down. Detroit is booming. They're building cars. The ghettos aren't quite as big. What do we need to worry about this stuff for? Why do I got to worry about any of this? The government can't take away your freedoms. It says so right here. I'm looking at it. It says the Constitution of the United States. Right here. It's in my hand. It says the government can't do that. Why do I need to pay attention to all this? Well, because they did. You don't need to be a constitutional scholar to read and understand the Constitution. But apparently you need to be a constitutional scholar in order to pervert the document, but certainly not to understand it. It's pretty easy. I mean, hey, look, sorry, but if a dumb old salt like me can read this and figure it out, pretty sure a goddamn constitutional scholar can. Well, that's why they manipulate it, because they have figured it out, and they don't like it. That means, well, wait a minute, that's taking away my power. Yeah, that's the point. That's why it's in here. Maybe you should read the Declaration of Independence. That way you understand why we got the Constitution. Did they talk about the Revolutionary War anytime when you went to school? Did you go to school? Idiot. But getting back to this Giraldo, I loved it when Johnny Carson made fun of him. I was like, oh, God, this is great. Johnny Carson used to be hard on him, man. Almost every night, man, he had a Giraldo joke. But he's not worried about the slippery slope, which everybody says, oh, it's not that. Oh, it's not this. Well, if you got nothing to hide, what are you worried about? A cop just stopping you, pulling you out on the street, searching your car, your pockets. If you've got nothing to hide, what are you worried about? Because it's none of their goddamn business. And I'm busy. I got places to go. I don't have time for this little goddamn steroided up, goddamn roid rage punk ass pulling me out of my car, tearing my car apart, looking for God knows what, finding nothing, being a dick, putting me in handcuffs, throwing me in jail just so he can fill his quota. Yeah, I got a bit of a problem with that. Not for nothing. But anyway, again, getting back to Giraldo. Now this, I don't have the exact quote. I couldn't remember what it was, but I got the gist of it. I got most of it. I was pissed when I heard it. I'm trying to write this down. But it just goes to show you just how much this man simply does not understand. This is what I asked earlier. If they taught the Constitution in his law school that he went to. What law school did you go to? I thought it was a pretty prominent one. I think he went to a pretty good one. Pretty prestigious one, anyway. You would think that this law school would cover the United States Constitution. I'm just, you know. Again, a dummy over here, you would think. This argument as if it's some patriotic ground to keep the government from becoming too frisky is ridiculous. Having the government becoming too frisky? Frisky? Frisky. Now, this right here. this tells you two things. One, the man is completely detached from frickin' reality. And to use the word frisky, he's trying to dumb it down, play it down, so it's not as strong as what it really is. It's called propaganda. It's called deceit, which is a lie. And the Second Amendment stinks. And you don't want some patriotic ground. This is what he says, a patriotic ground. It's not a patriotic ground to keep the government from becoming too frisky, you dummy. That's a responsibility. That's a duty. That's our job. The government has their job to follow the Constitution, and so do we. We both have a job to do. This document is for everybody, Mr. Rivera. It's not just for the government to follow. It's not just for the cops. Not just for the lawyers. It's for everybody, the citizens. Everybody. It's not a patriotic ground. Again, it's a responsibility. And if you want to call it a patriotic ground, all right. Okay. I don't have a problem with being patriotic. But it's not a patriotic ground. It's not a battle cry. It's not a Tea Party battle cry. It's the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment tells you why the Second Amendment is in the Constitution. And to keep the government from turning frisky, Mr. Rivera, well, that is the only reason for the Second Amendment. You know, I know you're getting up there in age. I think you're in your like early 70s. So maybe you got a little dementia. Maybe you got a little Alzheimer's or something. Maybe you got a little something. I don't know. Maybe you're back on the cocaine. I don't know, man. But pretty sure that they taught you some kind of constitutional something when you went to law school. And they had to teach you that. Or was your professor one of those, you know, anti-patriotic grounders? Actually, shut up. But, I mean, it just goes to show you that, I mean, you've got, I don't know. But what I find in a lot of these people, they're overtly, completely on the other side. And it becomes disingenuous to me. He's trying to play this down. For whatever reason, he's got some kind of investment in this new world order that we have going on in this country. This new whatever. This hope and change. There's people that are still supporting this. Oh, it's got to work. It's got to work. We put enough positive energy in. It's got to work. Well, no. Positive energy is good, and you can't do anything without positive energy. It doesn't matter what it is, but it's not working. It's never worked, and it never will work. It's time to stop defending it. And Mr. Rivera, again, the Second Amendment is in the Constitution, too. Specifically, keep the government from turning too frisky. That's its purpose. Not for nothing, but that is its purpose. You don't have to like the amendment. You think it stinks? Okay, fine, it stinks. But outdated, that doesn't even make any sense. What do you mean by it's outdated? Your brain is outdated. What are you talking about? Outdated. That doesn't even make any sense. Outdated. Outdated, what do you mean, outdated? What does that mean? Oh, I guess he's got the John McCain 21st Century Handbook. What is this all of a sudden? All of this, well, it's outdated. What does that mean? Well, it's outdated. Okay, but what does it mean? Well, it no longer fits in the times. Well, what do you mean, times? What do you mean it doesn't fit in the times? How does that not fit in the times? What, do you think the government won't get too frisky? Well, no, they're the government. That's not their job. Oh, yeah, they're out there caring for me. All I got to do is vote Democrat, and they'll take care of me. I don't even know what that means, Mr. Rivera, that it's outdated. Because there's guns. And because there's guns, you have to take them away. Well, there's too many people got guns. Well, you can block all gun sales from gun shops, but you're going to get black market guns. And yeah, he did make one good point, though, that mental patients should not get guns. However, this is what scares me, is when, first of all, when he said that I don't care about the slippery slope, this is where the slippery slope comes into play. Yeah, obviously. Somebody is a, you know, just a total mental wacko. I mean, they're freaking out there. Okay. Yeah. And they're seeing a psychiatrist. A psychiatrist doesn't know what the hell to do. Needs to be institutionalized, but you can't. The law won't let him. So I can understand that the doctor would say, no, this person can't get a gun. However, this is where the slippery slope comes into play that Mr. Rivera doesn't seem to care about, again, until it's going to happen to him. But who decides who is mental? Anybody that sees a psychiatrist? What if somebody, well, just wants to see one? What about cops? They shoot somebody, they have to go see a psychiatrist afterwards. Find out if they're mentally fit to get back on the street, shoot somebody else. So does that mean the cop can't get a gun now? I mean, where does it end? When does it end? But I do understand mental patients, yeah. If somebody... I could see where you could, you know, if you could work it out, if you could find people that are honest, but see, that's the problem. But if you talk to a doctor and you get the doctor's note saying, no, this guy can't get a gun, or yeah, this guy could get one, but you know the doctor's going to say no because he's just going to go out there to try to protect his own ass. But how do you determine whether somebody is mentally fit to get a gun or not? Well, there's a lot of work to do. One, maybe put them on a waiting list. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know what the solution is. But pointing your finger and blaming everybody and blaming guns and blaming this when they don't understand. And then he said something else here. This is what really drove me nuts. He says if he couldn't get a gun, and the only thing that he had was a knife, and he went running around the streets, he would not have been as effective. Well, he forgets that, one, he killed three people with a knife before he went on the rampage. Then he ran people over before he even shot anybody. And then he shot somebody. And then he ran somebody else over. What people don't seem to understand, and this is where the problem is, this is why we will never get this whole gun solution figured out. It's not the gun. The gun is a tool. You can kill anybody with anything. Mr. Rivera doesn't seem to understand that if he didn't have a gun and if he didn't have a knife, well, he could have run him over with his car. Look, it's the will to kill that makes you kill. If you have the will to kill, you will kill. That's what it is. It's not the gun. The gun is the tool. You don't have a gun, you don't have a knife, you got a stick, okay, fine. You can sharpen it, whatever. Or just beat them with it. If you have the will to kill, you're going to find a way to kill. It's not the gun. But I do understand, yeah, mental patients shouldn't get a gun. But if they can't get a gun, they can certainly get a kitchen knife. You can go to the dollar store and get one of them big knives. I got one I got at the dollar store. But you can get a knife. If you can't get a knife, well, you can find a stick. You can find something. You can hotwire a car, run a bunch of people over. If you have the will to kill, you will kill. That's what we need to work on. Stop trying to pass legislation so you look big and tough and you win the hearts and minds of your constituents so they'll reelect you, Mr. King, who used to be, and I say used to be, because I'm not going to vote for you no more. I'm in a different district now. I think you're still my, as of right now, until we can fire you, but you'll never get fired. I don't know why there's no Republican that won't challenge this man. There's got to be somebody on Long Island that will primary Pete King. This guy's got to go. This is the kind of stuff that we don't want in the Republican Party anymore. He wants to pass legislation now, put more in the government so nobody gets it. Well, anybody's going to get to a point, and then you're going to have this all connected with Obamacare. Your doctor's going to tell the government everything about you. Well, you can't get a gun. Why? Well, because you had your tonsils removed. What the hell's that for thing? Well, hey, look. You saw a doctor. You're mentally ill. You've got problems. You can't get a gun. The doctor could say anything he wants to. That's what they did to Justina Pelletier. Oh, no. It's nothing to do with gas. No. It's all in her head. You don't know anything. We're the doctors, so we're going to take her. We're going to show you what real medical neglect is all about. So they blame the parents of having medical neglect, and they take the girl, lock her up in a room by herself. Can't speak to anybody, not her family. And when she does see her family, maybe once a week for an hour, they're not allowed to talk about anything. What the treatment is, they're not allowed. The family, imagine that. That's your daughter. And you're seeing every week that you come see her, you're seeing her health deteriorate. More and more and more every week. And you're not allowed to talk about her health. That's your daughter. And you're not allowed to talk about her well-being because the state has decided that this girl is their property? Because you disagreed with the state? And a punk-ass bitch, 7 months out of medical school, goddamn intern little punk? What the hell? I mean, why was there not some doctor somewhere that is, a couple of years out of medical school rather than 7 months, somebody who's been around for a while, why isn't that person in charge? 7 months out of medical school. Okay, as far as I know, I mean, you're still in training, right? I mean, you get out of medical school, you're an expert now? You know everything? So what was the deal? Was he getting kickbacks? Is that what it is? Obviously, the psychiatrist was giving him a little on the side. I don't know. But why aren't these people in front of a grand jury? That's what I'd like to know. Oh, that's right. We got a governor who's involved. Yeah. And same with the judge, and there's cops, and there's social workers. There's a whole bunch of people. And it's not just in Boston. It's all over the United States. We can't rock the boat. If we do, we're going to lose our job. Can't be a rat. So you can't be a rat. Meanwhile, these children are dying. These veterans are dying. But you can't be a rat. People are dying, but you can't be a rat. Well, I'd rather be a rat. Not for nothing, but I'd rather be a rat. Well, Mr. Rivera, I'm sorry, but your ignorance was overwhelming this morning. I've never really had a whole lot of faith and trust in anything that you really did. Every time I see you, you give me one more reason why I should not take you seriously. Seriously. I believe you can do it. I believe you can do some good work. But sometimes you're just so far away from any kind of reality. It's very difficult for me to take you seriously. So let's open up my treasure chest here, see what kind of booty we can pull out of it today. Jesus Christ. White House launches internal probe into accidental outing of the CIA official. So they're going to launch an internal probe. I wonder what that probe. Wonder what that probe is. Wonder what they mean by that. They've got to look for a scapegoat. They've got to look for a youngin, a rogue employee. They were understaffed and they were overworked and they're just interns and they really didn't know what they were doing. They didn't really mean it. Yeah, I'm sure the terrorists will take that into consideration. I'm sure the people that are want to do him harm now, I'm sure they'll think about that. Well, it was an accident. You know, like those Mexican jailers. Well, it was an accident. The guy came across the border here. He got screwed up there. We'll let you go. Well, he gets to tell his story in front of a judge. That's, tomorrow, I think. Well, we'll find out. I think it's tomorrow. I got it in here somewhere. We'll find out. Hopefully they let him go. Maybe the Mexican, what does that even mean, John Kerry? He brought up the issue. What does that mean? Oh, addressed the issue. Or raised. That's the word they used. Raised the issue. What the hell does that mean? You should raise the gate and let him the hell out. What does that mean, you raised the issue? He's still in jail. I mean, I mean, the president's got his magic phone. He couldn't get on the horn there. Call one of his little Mexican buddies over there. Hey, I'm the president. That's one of our boys. He made a wrong turn. Let him out. But we're going to send our goddamn Marine Corps in there. We're going to slap the little piss out of every goddamn one of you. Do you think he'd do that? No. Should he? Yeah. Indicted businessman. You're going to love this. Indicted businessman names Harry Reid as alleged. Alleged. I hate that word. Recipient of massive bribe. Well, it's not going to stick to Harry Reid. He's got far too many friends in far too many low frickin' places. He can get himself out of anything. Well, we should have a responsible Congress to raise the issue that the leader of the Senate, I mean, corrupt as you can be, but they can't do that because these people are corrupt as well. So if they rat on one of their corrupt buddies, colleagues, well, they're going to get it. So that's another reason why this continues. And so they find out, well, hey, man, if they can be corrupt and they're all protected, well, I might as well be corrupt too. Well, Harry Reid has got, look, there, again, there's good greed and there's bad greed. The stealing from people, bad greed. And Mr. Reid, you're a thief. You're a conniving, just robbing thief. Federal Court Appeals reaffirms the right to videotape, including traffic stops. You can videotape cops. Well, good. Why wouldn't you be able to anyway? That never made any sense to me. But you can't videotape the cops so he can hit you with his sticks and taser you and kick you? Is that why you can't videotape a cop? That never made any sense to me. They can videotape you, but you can't videotape them. Well, you might get them in trouble. They might do something wrong. Well, yeah, that's why I'm videotaping them. That's why the Second Amendment, Mr. Rivera, is in the Constitution, to keep the government from turning too frisky. What does that mean, frisky? Why did he use that word? I don't know. I have no idea. Ah. Oh, look at this. A reporter steps out of line and asks the king a question about his foreign fallacy. If you don't know what I mean by fallacy, that's his foreign policy. But there is no policy. It's a fallacy. This man's a joke. This man's not a president. I don't know what he is, but he's not a president. He's not a world leader. Nobody has any respect for him, including most Americans. Oh, look at this. Speaking of the king, well, now the queen, which would be Michelle, she's standing up to her school lunch meals. No, they're effective. She's getting people in to come in there. All these so-called educators that are having great success, and they all told her big stories of all these, you know, success stories of how great and wonderful it is and how well it's working. Well, it's not working, and the schools want to opt out. So we're going to get into that if I can ever shut up long enough. But there's a bill trying to get it passed where schools can have the choice to opt out of it. Well, first of all, what I don't understand is why the hell is the federal government mandating what the hell a school does in the first place? Nationwide, the federal government has no business being in any kind of education, period. The government's not in the education business. You say that in here? We got an education clause in the Constitution? I think so. There's no health clause in here either. Well, we got it. That you hope for change that you voted for. All right, let's get into this Marine here now. Andrew Tamaresi. He's going to appear in front of the judge tomorrow. It is tomorrow. I knew it. He's going to be in Tijuana. I've been to Tijuana a gazillion times. I was lucky I never got arrested. Probably should have. According to his Tijuana-based attorney, how come he can't have one of his own American attorneys? How come we can't have somebody from the State Department representing him? Or why does he even have to go through this? Why isn't he already out? Well, he's going to be afforded the chance to tell his story in front of the judge. Like that's really going to give a damn to them? I mean, we let out of rapists, child molesters, and murderers. We let them out of our jail, free to roam our country, as long as they vote Democrat. They can do anything they want.
Drive?
Oh, yeah, they can vote, drive, do whatever they want. They're citizens now. They're free to rape and kill and molest as much as they can, much as they can do. Think Mexico's going to just let him out? No. He's going to be sentenced for bringing guns into the country. They don't care. They're corrupt. So if you want to get this guy out, you're going to have to pay him. The Mexican government is all Mexican drug cartel. Well, I wouldn't say all, but there's a lot of Mexican drug cartels that have a lot of influence in the government. And if they don't get what they want, well, people get hung, people get their heads cut off, they get shot up, stabbed up, raped up. It's not It's not pleasant. The boys mean business. They don't screw around. But why we didn't have somebody somewhere in this government to get this guy out just doesn't make any sense. Why would we hire somebody specifically to clean up the mess in the VA? That's why he was hired. And Obama knew it. He got all the horror stories. He had everything he needed right there. Specifics of what was going on. So he hires a guy to fix it. Well, it doesn't get fixed. People start dying. People start complaining. Now the king's embarrassed. Now he's got to act tough. So now he's got to fly halfway across the goddamn globe to give a speech. Make it look like he cares. Yeah, I got your back, boys. Yeah, that's what we're afraid of. They don't need speeches, Mr. President. They need actions. Actions do speak louder than words. Your words are meaningless. Your words come from a teleprompter. They don't come from you. The Mexican customs agent and soldiers involved in his arrest will also be there to make statements. I'm sure they're going to tell a long, tall tale. Oh, he was this, he was that, blah, 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 blah. Too bad he didn't videotape it. But they would have confiscated it, or we can't find it, or it broke in the transfer, and blah, blah, blah. There should have been one phone call. Zippity-doo-dah-day. It appears that one of the customs officials, apparently, had offered to escort Mr. Tamaresi across the border. So the attorney wants to find out, well, what the hell happened after that? If he promised to escort him, why didn't he get a chance to go? Oh, somebody needed to fill their quota. Somebody wanted a payday. So I guess this Tamaresi in the Mexican court, he gets a chance to actually question the officers about the things that they stated during their testimony. And he can also rebut statements if he believes that they're lying. So that's good. That's one good thing. But the problem is they're so corrupt, and he shouldn't have to do this. Why is there nobody from the State Department there with him? This is one of our soldiers, man. By his own, look, I know they got laws. But even if he wasn't a soldier, we got one of our people. They come over here and get their boys out of our jails all the time. Well, we can't do that to one of ours? An innocent mistake? I mean, what are we kidding? Now, if he went over there and started shooting up the place, no, I wouldn't bother to intervene either. But he wasn't over there to shoot up the place. He was honest, told them what he had. They were locked up in the trunk. He should have just been able to turn around. Well, that's what they want to find out. Why wasn't this guy allowed just to turn around? And why wasn't there a whole bunch more signs up there saying you're about to enter Mexico? Your last chance to turn around or get screwed. So there's going to be some protests. There's a lot of groundswell. People are pissed. Americans are pissed. And good. I'm glad to see that there are Americans getting pissed. That's one good thing. People getting pissed off all over the place. And that's good. Got Operation American Spring in D.C. You got people popping up all over the damn place. And that's what it takes, man. That's what it takes. People are pissed off at the VA, and they should be, both Democrat and Republican, which it shouldn't be about parties anyway. It's not about parties. It's about people. It has absolutely nothing to do with Republican or Democrat. But everybody's got to put it in a political side. And if you don't see it their way, well, then you're wrong. But I'm starting to sense a lot of people are getting pissed off. A lot of people are starting to realize this hope and change, this gobbledygook is bogus. It doesn't work. We got suckered in. Well, yeah, you did. And there was no reason for it. I mean, common freaking sense will tell you. I mean, that whole running, I mean, that was so pathetic that... That speech that he made when he accepted the nomination, and they had Sheryl Crow out there, and they had all these people. I mean, it was just pathetic. And then when he wins a president, I didn't even watch the speech. I watched a couple of bits of it, but I mean, it just was too much. It was too much. And you knew none of this stuff was going to work. We knew it. You knew it. Everybody knew it. Everybody was saying it's not going to work, not going to work, and the more it doesn't work, the more they tell you it does. That's what Michelle's doing now. Telling the world, oh, yeah, this program works. Why? Because you say it does? Well, yeah. That's how they think. If you just keep telling somebody over and over and over, repetition overrides reasoning. Well, no, not to intelligent people. Because they hear the same BS over and over and over again, you're just going to piss them off. And that's what's happening. People are getting pissed off. Your BS ain't working. Which is what we need. Again, you can't get anything accomplished in this world unless you get pissed off. It's sad and tragic, but it's true. All right, now Americans need to get pissed off. We're never going to get anything done. So good, there's support, there's rallies going on at the border on Wednesday. There's a lot of tension that's building. Many in the United States are wondering why is there not anything done here? I mean, if he was over there to commit crimes, why? Okay, I don't think any American would give a damn. Why we can't get a State Department, anybody? You got no staff member doing nothing? You got nobody? There's no Marines anywhere near Tijuana. Pretty sure you can find somebody. All right, let's get into this internal probe. Oh, God, I need a shot of rum here tonight. But now they're acting all toughy-tough, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. They're always going to get to the bottom of it. Get to the bottom of what? They're always getting to the bottom of it. We're going to find out what happened and make sure that it never happens again. How many times have you heard that? Well, we just want to make sure that it never happens again. That's what Hillary Clinton said about Benghazi. We just got to find out what went wrong. Well, first of all, Ms. Clinton, I can tell you what went wrong. Facilitating weapons transfers into the hands of Al-Qaeda, that was the first mistake. Then when you got caught, you tried to get the weapons back was a big mistake because you knew that wasn't going to work. You really think these people are going to say, okay, all right, we understand you made a mistake. We'll give you back all these weapons. No problem. And the third mistake is you got rid of all your security. Why did you do that? Oh, they wanted to show the Libyan people that we trusted them. Well, that's incompetence. Especially after the British left because of all the violence. The Red Cross left because of all the violence. We've had our own, that same facility was attacked like four times. So instead of beefing up the security, we get rid of it. So those are some mistakes, Ms. Clinton. that you made. You were allowed to make. You didn't argue. You didn't throw a fit. Valerie Goebbels in the Situation Room. The president is nowhere to be found. He gets the word. The embassy is on fire, being attacked. The ambassador is nowhere to be found. So he goes up and eats. Then gets on the phone for 2 hours. And then after that, we don't know. But Valerie Goebbels, we do know, went to the Situation Room. And she took control. She did not give a go get 'em. So what they did was give a stand down order, because they did not give a stand up order. Nobody said go. Go get 'em. Go fight. Nobody said. Nobody thought about it. See, they were more concerned on how to spin it so the king wouldn't look bad, because they just got done saying a week ago that Al-Qaeda was on the run. That's where their heads were. That's what they were concerned with. Not the fact that we had a bunch of people dying and our ambassador getting raped and cattle prodded, and they were able to watch it on live video feed, but they're worried about how to spin it. And they got this 19-year-old punk-ass little bitch, the dude, he's in the Situation Room. He should have been in the Situation Room, I don't know, handing out danishes and soft drinks, maybe coffee, but he shouldn't have been making any decisions. But it wasn't about how do we save these people. It's about how do we save the king. He just said Al-Qaeda's on the run. And them bastards are right now raping our ambassador and killing our Marines. And where is the president? Well, we don't know. He had to give a big speech, though, the next day, a fundraising speech. So maybe he was with his speechwriters, and they were writing his speech for the next day, because he doesn't have time for all of this, you know, all this presidential stuff. No, this is all about the campaign, and we've got to win. And if we don't win, well, this is what makes me just absolutely sick, this whole Benghazi thing, is they didn't give a damn that there was people dying. Our own people are dying. They were more concerned about how to spin it. So they get on the horn. 2 hours after they know, right when Valerie Goebbels gets in there, right around that time, if you want to go chronological, right around that time where Valerie gets into the Situation Room, they get on the horn to YouTube. They're trying to spin this already. Why didn't they take that time to, like, I don't know, send a bunch of airplanes, come to the rescue? Well, we can't get there on time. We just got to let them attack. Why would anybody do that? They wouldn't. So that tells me this was deliberate. Did you know the attack was going to happen? Why would you not send anybody? I can't fathom this. My brain does not process this at all. This tells me this was deliberate. And if it's not deliberate, then it's incredibly incompetent. Either way is equally unacceptable. Once you get to unacceptable, it doesn't matter how you get there. If it's unacceptable, it's unacceptable. And the fact that we didn't even try is unacceptable. The fact that our president, finding out by his defense secretary and chief of staff or not chief of staff, the joint chief of staff, whoever it is, the general. Hey, our embassy's on fire. Can't find the ambassador anywhere. Reports are he's getting raped and cattle prodded and burnt, tortured. A whole bunch of other people are getting shot at with mortars and machine guns. Place is on fire. So he goes up and eats. That right there is grounds for dismissal, as far as I'm concerned. That right there, that's an impeachable offense. That's American soil. That's an act of war. And if your country's being attacked, you don't go up and eat. And then you don't get on the phone for 2 hours. And then you don't send one of your advisors down to the Situation Room so they can call YouTube and try to spin it. Because they made a speech a week ago that Al-Qaeda was on the run. We can't embarrass the king. Well, they, for whatever reason, and again, it's either deliberate or it's incompetent. But the CIA agent, his name gets put on a list. How does a name like this? This is what I don't understand. This is what I cannot understand how a top spy, one of the main dudes in the CIA, how his name gets put on a list and he gets outed. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's deliberate. And if it's not deliberate, it's complete and total incompetence. But how could it be incompetence? What is his name doing on any list? I mean, if this is a top spy, what is his name doing on any frickin' list? His name shouldn't be down anywhere. That's what I don't understand. Yeah, he did have some contacts in Afghanistan that knew his name. But they didn't know exactly what he really was. Now they do. Now his life is in danger. This obviously was done deliberately. For what reason? I can't figure any of this stuff out. I mean, Fast and Furious, yeah, I know. That was such a long time ago. I mean, that was longer than Benghazi. I can't figure that out. You know, but we have the most transparent, you know, administration in political history. So we've got all the information we need. Which is nothing. Other than they wanted to make it look like all these weapons were coming from America into Mexico. And Americans are racist. And Americans hate. And Americans got a gun problem. And we've got to get rid of the Second Amendment. So this will be fuel for us to pass a whole bunch of legislation, and we're just start taking away freedoms left and right. You cannot convince me under any circumstances that the president was not aware of Fast and Furious. If not, he signed off on it. Maybe he came up with it. I don't know. Maybe Valerie Goebbels came up with it. It doesn't matter who came up with it. That's irrelevant. The fact is that somebody came up with it. And the president had to have known. And if he didn't know, and he found out about it when he was watching the news, watching television, after the Kim Kardashian show, here comes the news. Presidential news of the day. Why the hell is the president watching goddamn television? I mean, I understand he gets some downtime and, you know, nobody's, you know, whatever. But when you're getting your news reports, you're getting reports from the news. Rather than advisors and rather than people that the American taxpayers are paying to tell you and inform you, I mean, there's a problem. Why didn't he fire people? Say, why didn't I find out about this? Why am I finding out about this on CNN? when he found out that his attorney general was facilitating weapons getting into the hands of Mexican drug cartels, of all people. Why did he not fire him immediately? Well, obviously because he was in on it. And if he fired Holder, well, then Holder will spill the beans, and then Obama's going to look bad. So he stuck with him. And now we've got an attorney general that's in contempt. So the contempt charge has to go to the attorney general. So what do you think he's going to do with it? Oh, look, here's a contempt charge for me. Oh, yeah, let's process this. Okay, here, yeah, work on this. No. And Lois Lerner, what do you think her little contempt charge is? Why do you have to go through? They're still farting around with it. Look, if you're in contempt about certain crimes, it doesn't matter what it is. You get in contempt in court, you go to jail. Why is this no different? Who's protecting who? That's what I'd like to know. Well, the White House launched their internal probe after they outed this top CIA official in Afghanistan, of all places, right around the time that he's out there. Now, this is what I don't understand. I mean, this just goes to show you just how just inept and clumsy and just, I mean, I don't think anybody in this administration seems to understand the seriousness of their frickin' job. He's flying over to Afghanistan on a top-secret mission over here to give an 11-minute speech in front of the troops because his poll numbers are going down. Because everybody's pissed off that he knew what was going on with the VA but did nothing, and a bunch of them died. Americans didn't like it. And now he's got to show that he's working hard for them. He's fighting for that middle class. So he flies across the globe. Talks to the troops for 11 minutes. Then gets back on Air Force One and goes home. Got another speech to make. But his name comes out right around the time when he's over there. Evidently it went out beforehand or what have you not. But I'm thinking to myself, now here you got a trip to Afghanistan in the war zone. Giving a speech to the troops to make your numbers look good, which they're not going to look good. The troopers, they don't need speeches. They need care. Not speeches. Speeches don't care. Speeches don't heal wounds. But why is this man's name outed at this particular time? You see what I mean? The coincidence. Something's up somewhere. And now it looks like he's sending over, what did they didn't use advisors. What the hell did they call them? Trainers. Over to Syria. We haven't done it yet, but he's thinking about it. God only knows we don't have people over there already. But they're training the Syrian rebels, which we all know, but they call them, well, these are the moderates. Well, there's no moderate. What does that mean, moderate? What does that mean? Moderate. They're not moderate. A moderate terrorist? What? What is that? What does that mean? These are not moderate. And if you're helping the moderates, you're going to be helping Al-Qaeda because they're all together. I'm sorry. I know it's hard. It sucks that you got to face the freaking reality. But those rebels, the majority of them, they're not moderate. And even if they are moderate, which I'm sure there's probably some that are, but the bad ones are going to take over. You cannot be fooled anymore. But these people will be. So they want to help the so-called moderates. Which anything that we send over to them, doesn't matter what it is. The trainers, they're training Al-Qaeda. We're actually going to be over there now training Al-Qaeda how to kill us, because they're going to use that against us. They're going to use that training. But they want to get rid of this Assad. Now, I don't understand what this whole – there's something that we're missing here. There's a couple of dots that are missing. And I do believe this attack on – I mean, this trying to topple Assad and the topple of Gaddafi. For whatever reason, I believe those two are connected. Well, how are they connected? Well, Al-Qaeda, Sharia, Islam. It's all connected in there. Why are we helping Al-Qaeda? I don't understand it. We shouldn't be having anything to do with these people. None of them. But yet we're trying to be friends with them and give them weapons so they can attack Assad. Why is Assad so important? Why was Gaddafi so important? See, that's the connection that there's something there. Well, the only connection that I can see is Al-Qaeda. So why is this president helping Al-Qaeda? Does he have ties with Al-Qaeda? We know his brother. His brother has ties with a whole bunch of crazy wacko Muslim freaks. Well, it's a half-brother, whatever. He's got a million half-brothers and a million half-sisters. Who the hell knows? God only knows whether he was born in Kenya or born in the United States. I don't really know. But what I do know is he's on the wrong side. He's not on my side. He's not on the American side. What side he's on, I don't know. But he's not on my side, and I'm certainly not on his. I cannot support anything that this man has done. Nor can I support anything that this man is proposing to do. Never so much have I ever disagreed with an administration in my lifetime than this one here. This has to be the most – the scandals are scandals, okay? Staying in a blue dress, okay, that's a scandal. Benghazi, Fast and Furious, IRS, Obamacare, stimulus packages. Okay, those are not scandals. Those are crimes. I'm sorry, but Fast and Furious was a crime. If I were to facilitate a weapons transfer into the hands of Mexican drug cartels and I was caught, pretty sure I'd go to jail for a long time. A long time. How about Benghazi? Weapons facilitate again. The Mexican drug cartel, they weren't big enough. They needed bigger dogs. Let's see if we can do this same thing with Al-Qaeda. So they did, and they get caught. So they blame it on a video. And we reelect him. Well, a spokesman, again, with the spokesman, but this one was a spokeswoman. How about speaking to people who are actually in charge? But a spokeswoman with the National Security Council at the White House, Chief of Staff Ash, the White House, Neil Eggleston, to look into what happened. They asked him to look into what happened. Look into it. What happened? All right. And make recommendations on how the administration can improve processes and make sure something like this never happens again. Well, you can start by being competent. You can start about caring about what the hell your job is. Caring about the American people. Read the Constitution. Understand it. Follow it. That's what you can do to make sure that none of this crap happens again. Bye. You got to take care of him. You don't out him unless it's deliberate. Did he say something about you, Mr. Obama? Is that what it was, huh? Did he criticize the king? Is that what it was? Oh. Does it matter to me whether they did it deliberately or they did it out of incompetence? You put the man's life in risk. You made yourself look like an idiot. And you embarrassed the country once again. I am sick and tired of having this president embarrass me. And this man is an embarrassment. I'm sorry, but it's one time after another this man has embarrassed this country. One time too goddamn many. Now, John Bolton, he gets up there, and I like John Bolton. He's the ambassador to the United Nations, a former ambassador, if you don't know who I'm talking about. But he says there's simply no excuse for it. Well, yeah, that's true. Of course there's no excuse for it. There's no excuse for what happened with the NSA. How does a guy who's only been on the job for like just a few months with a GED, didn't graduate high school, how is he able to walk out with all that information and then fly to China and then to Russia? I put more of the blame on the system, the protocols. Why would there not be the biggest spy agency in the world? How can the biggest spy agency in the world have such lax protocols? Everything in this entire administration is lax. He ousted SEAL Team 6, which, look, we've all known the Delta Force and SEAL Team 6. We've all heard of them. We've all known them, but they're not supposed to be, you're not supposed to out them. Not supposed to really admit that they exist, especially if you're the commander-in-chief. Nobody told them it was Corman, not Corpsman. I mean, that right there, I mean, that's beyond embarrassment. That's stupidity. How do you not know? How do you not know that it's Corman, not Corpsman? I'm sorry, but how do you not know that? A dummy like me. I got a broken left-handed tongue. I can't read. I can't speak. But I even wouldn't make a stupid mistake like that. But you do it once. Okay, first of all, you did it once. You should have realized Corpsman? That doesn't make any sense. What the hell is a Corpsman? Somebody that goes around and picks up corpses? Bring out your dead! Bring out your dead! I mean, what the hell does that mean? You're a constitutional scholar. Aren't you supposed to be smart? You did it once. Okay, fine. You should have corrected yourself. And go, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. Corman. Oh, yeah, okay. But you didn't. You made the goddamn mistake, what, three times? This man is an embarrassment. He's a criminal. I'm sorry, what happened in Fast and Furious, what happened with Benghazi, what happened with the IRS, this is all criminal. And the NSA, I got to hold him a little responsible for this. I understand the government's got to go out there and track information and this and that, and blah, blah, blah. But what they're doing is far too much. You can argue that forever. However, the problem that I have is if they are going to have this kind of information, they need to make damn sure that it doesn't get into the wrong hands. And nobody seemed to care. It wasn't in anybody's job description. Well, I can't do that. Well, why? Well, because it's not in my job description. I know it makes sense. I know. I get the whole common sense thing. But, look, I can't go outside the rules here. If I do, I'm going to lose my job. And if I tell anybody about it, if I complain about it, then I'm going to lose my job. So I just got to go ahead and just do whatever I'm supposed to do. That's the mentality. Nobody wants to stand up and say, wait a minute, this is wrong. We shouldn't do it this way. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody's going to die. 28 bodies piling up in a frickin' VA or in a morgue. And they're fighting back and forth with the VA. Everybody's blaming everybody. But nobody knows how long they've been there. Well, if nobody knows how long they've been there, how do you not know that you've got 28 bodies piling up? These are veterans. Once you hear they're a veteran, okay, you take care of them. You find a way to bury them properly. I don't understand this mindset that we have in this country. Nobody seems to just, it's a very selfish mindset. And if you're not like me, well, then you're bad and you're wrong and you must be punished, removed from society, ostracized, ridiculed, chastised, fined. Everybody loves the fine. I mean, doesn't anybody understand what the hell they're doing in this administration? Do they understand the importance of it? Does anybody in the, on the Democratic side, do they understand the seriousness of four Americans that were brutally murdered, one of them raped and burnt and cattle prodded? We don't know how many CIA agents that were actually killed. We don't have those numbers. They're not going to give those numbers out. We can't get the number of people who are actually seriously injured. And what were those injuries? Are they still injured? Did any of them die from those injuries? We can't get those numbers. We can't get that information. And the left doesn't want to talk about it because it's boring. Subterfuge. Nobody's going to lose any sleep over it. This is boring. How is it boring? Who are they protecting and why are they protecting them? That's what I'd like to know. I can't leave any of this stuff alone. Benghazi, Fast and Furious, all this crap. They shouldn't be allowed to get away with this stuff. That's right. Oh, that's right. You're going to have to answer questions. Well, you don't like it. Well, we don't like our brothers being brutally murdered and then have you blame it on a video. We don't like it when one of our heroes, one of our war heroes, takes a wrong goddamn turn and ends up in a Mexican jail, and we just leave him behind. We don't like that. We don't like our government putting our veterans on secret lists so they can clean the numbers up so they can get off early. They can go to the barbecue for Veterans Day. And have fun. Have a burger and a dog. And celebrate the day. Have fun while the veterans that you put on a list are dying. But as long as you get that burger, as long as you have that barbecue, that's all that matters. I mean, how the hell could they possibly do this without anybody finding out? Unless it was deliberate. I'm not going to listen to this crap. They're going to blame, I know for a fact, they're going to blame somebody that, you know, an underling, you know, a very junior person. Somebody that just got on the job. Oh, it's just, yeah, they just got here, you know, not even a week ago. They didn't know. Well, if somebody just got on the job and doesn't know, don't you think you would have somebody monitoring their work to make sure that they didn't do something like this? And first of all, what is this man's name doing on any list? I don't know. That's one more cog that just goes to show you how incompetent this guy is. But don't ask me any questions, like that reporter. She asked him a question. I got that somewhere. Where the hell is that? Oh, there it is. The president was given there was a tour in the White House of this science fair. So Obama's up there and he's talking to the students and of course he's taking the selfies. He's got to take the little selfies. I'm sick of those stupid selfies, by the way. What the hell are they? I mean, come on. Well, whatever. I guess it's the thing of the times. I should take a selfie. But Obama now plans to keep 9,800 troops, almost 10,000 troops in Afghanistan. That's still a lot of troops. Well, they get done with the fair, and he's up there looking at this, little displays. Real Clear Politics reporter, Alexis Simondinger. I love that name, Simondinger. She dared to ask the king a question about breaking news about the White House's approach to Syria's civil war. Well, that pissed him off. You see, what the news is he's planning on sending trainers over to help the Syrian rebels, which, again, he's sending trainers over there to train al-Qaeda. Well, she dares to ask him the question. Of course, you can't do that. I wonder how long she's going to be before she's got to be finding another job. But he says, I'm sorry, we're doing a science fair. Come on. Come on. And then he just turned around and walked out. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I mean, look. You know, I'm sorry, Mr. President, but you're actually going to have to be president from time to time. Science fairs, this is not really your job. Golfing's not really your job. Bringing Jay-Z and Beyonce in to serenade you is not your job. Going up to eat when your embassy's on fire and your ambassador is being raped and Marines and SEALs are being murdered. Not exactly the time to eat. Just saying. And if you were really that hungry, you couldn't wait any longer when you should have been immediately followed. Boom. You should have been almost instamatically into that situation room. I know I would have ran. But if you're that damn hungry, I'm sure somebody could have brought something in for you. Pretty sure in the situation room, they would allow a sandwich. But he couldn't do that. He had to go upstairs and eat one of Michelle's special meals. I wonder what that meal was. Must have been a hell of a meal. Well, they still want to keep 10,000 troops here in Afghanistan. We're never going to get the hell out of there. The war on terror is forever. Just the way it is. But when you ask the question, there's other ways you could have handled. First of all, you should have had an answer. You should have said, well, that's a rumor. We're not going to do that. We're not going to go train al-Qaeda. We don't do that. We're at war with al-Qaeda. But we're not going to get that from the president because, well, all right, what else have we got here today? How much time we got? We got 19 minutes. We got a time. I want to get into this Harry Reid. This guy, I mean, this is another thing that pisses me off with these politicians. Once you get into a certain level, it's almost like you're untouchable and no one can touch you. No one can arrest you. You can't do that. Well, why? Well, because he's Harry Reid. He's the majority leader in the Senate. So what does that mean? He's committing crimes. Well, yeah, you can't touch him, you know. Don't do that. Don't rock the boat. Don't call the cops. Well, you'll get in trouble. Well, a Utah businessman is claiming that the Utah Attorney General, John Swallow, helped him broker a deal with Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to make a federal investigation into his company quietly disappear. Oh, where'd it go? I don't know. Jeremy Johnson was allegedly told that the price would be $600,000 and claims to have made an initial payment of $250,000 when he was slapped with a federal lawsuit. Now he wants his money back. God damn it. I mean, Harry Reid, you know for a fact, has found a way to get his, make sure his hands were squeaky clean. So if anything happens, he still gets to collect the money. He gets to keep the money. But whoever did it, anything happens, they get, they're the fall guy. When the real guy doing the real damage is Harry Reid. A bribe is a bribe is a bribe is a bribe. And once you take a bribe or you give a bribe, it's still the same crime. Corruption. Well, Mr. Johnson has no way of knowing whether the funds actually made it to Mr. Reid or not. Even if he did make a massive payment to Reid's alleged intermediary. Well, he's got a lot of alleged intermediaries. Mr. Reid's pockets, Mr. Reid's hands are clean, and his pockets are full. His hands are squeaky clean. He's a pretty smart fella. He's got it down to a science. Mr. Johnson was largely known in Utah as a wealthy philanthropist who spent like thousands and thousands of dollars to ferry supplies into Haiti. You know, after that big devastating earthquake. Then there was an FTC investigation. And Johnson, Mr. Johnson said that Mr. Swallow suggested that Mr. Reid could make all these problems with the regulators go away, but for a price. So the man is quoted as saying, Mr. Johnson, okay, what do I need to do? And he's like, okay, well, it costs money. Well, yeah. I think he told me Richard Rawl has a connection with Harry Reid. He said Swallow at first wanted $2 million to enlist Reid's help. So this guy, this Mr. Swallow, he's on the take too. He's trying to get some coin. $2 million to keep an inspector from coming to your whatever. $2 million. I mean, what the hell did he want nobody to find out what he was doing? And $2 million? I mean, even $600,000. I mean, oh, Jesus, God. See, that's big felony area there. You think anything's going to happen to Mr. Reid? Think anybody's going to investigate Mr. Reid? No. He's the majority leader. He won an election. He's untouchable. Well, what it was is his company, iWorks, that was the name of it, was no longer profitable, and he had no way of paying the $2 million friggin' dollars. So they eventually agreed on $300,000 up front and $300,000 later. So, Mr. Swallow put Mr. Johnson in contact with Mr. Rawl. So everybody's involved now. But where's Mr. Reid? Well, he'll just sign off on the paperwork once he gets his, you know, he gets his cash. But of course, this stuff has to be in cash. So what does Mr. Reid do with all of his cash? Offshore accounts, Swiss bank accounts, you know, they hate Swiss bank accounts. See, Republicans, they're not allowed to have Swiss bank accounts, but Democrats can. That's patriotic. They can hide their money. They can accept bribes. You know, they can't earn money the old-fashioned way by going out and earning it, working for it. That must be taxed. And that's criminal. That's racist. But if you're corrupt, well, that's fine. That's all part of. Look, you're fighting for people. You're fighting for the middle class. So if it means you take a bribe here and a bribe there, hey, long as you're out there working for the middle class, it's all that matters. Because the Koch brothers and the Tea Party, They just hate people. Long story short, they go back and forth. He gets busted. He says he's got the proof that he can do it. He wants to show the proof. God only knows if he'll get his opportunity. But he spent 96 days in jail and has released a number of emails and statements seemingly corroborating parts of his story. However, Mr. Swallow insists that Mr. Johnson is making false and defamatory accusations. I didn't do it. He did it. No, you did it. No, you did it. Everybody's finger pointing. When it's blatantly obvious that they were all involved in it. They all had their own little role. But this attorney says, hey, man, you know, it's perfectly legal. I can connect people to different people. I can do different things like this. Yeah, but you were on the take. You were getting money. I don't buy for one second this guy didn't get a cut himself. That's why this guy was asking for $2 million. Because he knew it wasn't going to take $2 million. So he was trying to get a payday. Everybody's trying to suck everybody dry. Jesus Christ. Nobody's got any respect for anybody. It's all about themselves. Federal appeals court reaffirms the right to videotape cops. Well, you should have to. That's your protection, man. I mean, I'm sorry, but look, in you know, the 21st century handbook, the times that we live in, Mr. McCain, but cops are getting a little bit frisky, Mr. Rivera. And that's the only thing you've got to protect yourself with. They should understand it. If they're not doing anything wrong, why should they worry about whether you're videotaping? You're videotaping. Your little squad car's got a goddamn camera on it. So why is it okay for you to videotape, but not anybody else? They just don't want to get caught. They don't want anybody knowing what they're doing. And if you do videotape a cop, well, then it's against the law. Oh, it's against the law for me to videotape you for beating that guy completely unconscious. Six of you with sticks. Carla Gerkel, or Garrick, I guess is how you pronounce it. Gerkel, where the hell did I get that from? God only knows. It's late at night. What do you expect? And I got two broken left-handed eyes, too. Carla Garrick attempted to film Sergeant Joseph Kelly as he was conducting a late-night traffic stop. Well, you shouldn't have done that. Shortly thereafter, she was arrested and charged with several crimes, including a violation of New Hampshire's wiretapping statute. But finally, she got a chance to go. She didn't go to trial. And she sued the town, the police department, the officers who arrested her and charged her, alleging in pertinent part that there were wiretapping charges. Constituted retaliatory prosecution in violation of her First Amendment rights. Well, good for her, and I'm glad the court stuck up for it. Every once in a while, you get a pocket of this kind of stuff. Well, there's no excuse for this kind of stuff to begin with. Why would you need to do that? Look, I know, cops, you got a bad job. Somebody pisses you off. That does not mean because you've got a badge and you've got a gun. Does not give you the right to pull them out of the car and start beating the hell out of them and arresting them. That's not your job. You may think it is, and if that's really how you think, well, then, you know, you need to find another occupation. And does your job suck from time to time? Yeah. Can everybody do your job? No. But there's far too much of this again, on this program, it's not the police force that we have a problem with. It's the police force that we have a problem with. And they have far too much of it. Look, I know your job sucks. I would love to have more. I would love to go back and have trust and respect and faith in you. I would love to be able to respect the police department again. but I can't. There's far too many bad cops that I've seen. And now, lately, you're seeing more bad than you're seeing good. So how am I supposed to know who's a good cop and who's the bad cop? Well, I don't know. And a lot of times, no, it's not always the cop, it's the system. And the system turns these cops into bad cops, and they're allowed to get away with it. Hey, as long as you're allowed to get away with anything, you're going to keep doing it. If what you know is wrong and you're allowed to get away with it, like Mr. Reed does, he's been allowed to steal. And I mean, he comes into office. He had a couple of bucks in the, you know, he was a lawyer, but he wasn't a goddamn gazillionaire like he is now. He became extremely corrupt. That's how he's been able to win re-election 15 million times. Well, it's time to vote these people out. Nevada, I'm sorry, but you gotta let this guy go. You gotta let him go. San Francisco, you gotta let Nancy Pelosi go. Okay, you gotta do it. Send the old girl packing. All right, let her go back to your district. Let her go. California, you've got to let a lot of people go. You used to have a couple good ones, but you don't have very many good ones in California anymore. Both your senators are stupid. Both of those have to go. Boxer and Feinstein, both of them, come on, California, work with me here. Daryl Issa, I'm sorry, you broke my heart, but you got to go. These people got to go. The whole country. Look, we got to start taking these elections a little bit more serious. Right now, it doesn't seem like we do. Well, as long as the Democrats win, well, as long as the Republicans win, well, what does that mean, as long as they win? You're putting in turds. We don't want that. Look, winning just to win, okay, fine, but you got to win for the right reason. We got to put the right people in. We need to have a goal in mind. The goal is to get back to freedom. That's what I want. I want this Constitution. I want it read. I want it learned. I want it studied in school. I want it practiced on the streets. I want our government to practice. I want our law enforcement to practice. This should be a model for the whole world. But in this country, it's a goddamn laughingstock. And if you believe in it, when you're an extremist, anti-government, you're a hater. And that's about all we have for tonight. But I want to leave you with this song here. This is by Lynyrd Skynyrd. And that ain't my America. Well, this is not my America. Not the America I grew up in. Not the America I'm going to die in, because I'm going to fight like hell. We're going to get it back. One fight at a time. But we got to fight them all at once. We'll see you back here tomorrow night at 8. Good night, everybody.
Sometimes I want to light up underneath the no smoking sign. Sometimes I wish they'd tell me how justice got so blind. I wish they'd just leave me alone, 'cause I'm doing alright. You can take your change on down the road and leave me here with mine. 'Cause that ain't my America, that ain't this country's roots. You wanna slam old Uncle Sam, but I ain't letting you. I'm mad as hell and you know I still bleed red, white, and blue. That ain't us, that ain't my America. That ain't my America. Yeah, I'm standing there in Dallas, waiting on a plane.